talk about that.
We'll call the Senate Ag and Veterans Policy Committee to order. members, we're going to hear a couple of Senator Betzold bills. Senator Betzold?
I think you need to get their attention.
You got to hit it harder.
There you go.
Senator Betzold, we're going to start with Senate File 1247.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Senate File 1247 is a data practices bill that was brought to me by the Department of Agriculture. Briefly, it deals with information that the department needs in order to do monitoring and assessment of certain areas, you know, for instance, for environmental issues. The trouble is that sometimes in order to do the studies that they need to do, a lot of it has to be with the cooperation of the landowners, and landowners are sometimes concerned if the information, you know, about the fact that the government is collecting samples on their property. And so in order to encourage cooperation, this bill would provide that the names, addresses, telephone numbers, email addresses of the participants in these studies and the location of the research would be not public information. However, there would be some information that is public, such as the samples that are collected and so forth. They do have a witness from the Department of Agriculture here who can discuss further their request.
Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name's Bob Patton. I'm with the Agricultural Development and Financial Assistance Division of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. As Senator Betzold has explained quite well, we have a number of programs and projects at the Department of Agriculture relating to the environment and natural resources in which we work with cooperating farmers and landowners on their properties. There's a fact sheet that's been handed out. I hope you have in front of you on the data practices bill, and that fact sheet has some examples of the types of projects we do at the Department of Agriculture that are involved with cooperating landowners. I'll just go through those briefly. The Farm Nutrient Management Assessment Program, or FANMAP, that's a program where interviews are conducted, quite detailed interviews are conducted with landowners to find out in detail what their farm management practices are, particularly as related to environmental and natural resource concerns. And that just helps the department sharpen up its programs, understand where to focus and target its programs. We do monitoring of groundwater for pesticides. That's monitoring of wells and springs on private land. We have an environmental quality assurance program. That's a relatively new program funded out of the Clean Water Legacy dollars. That is a program where there are on-farm assessments conducted of livestock operations, and in doing so, we not only collect useful data, but we provide useful feedback to the property owners, to the farmers, on their practices. And we do quite a number of research and demonstration projects. Current projects that we are conducting have to do with, for example, rye, winter rye as a cover crop, conservation drainage, and managed grazing. With all these projects, what they have in common, they're all non-regulatory in nature, and they all involve working voluntarily with cooperating landowners. And as Senator Betzold covered, it's important to those landowners that their identities and the locations of their property are kept private. And it's also important for us, especially in collecting data through interviews, assessments, surveys, and that sort of thing, that we get candid responses. And we feel that protection of this data also helps with the candid nature of those responses. So thank you very much for allowing me to testify, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
So, Mr. Patton, just so we're all clear, the names, the addresses, locations, all of that stuff remains private. What you're sharing is the information that you're collecting as a result of this, and it's in a larger database, I'm assuming, that you're sharing that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you're exactly right. We are interested in sharing the data, obviously, collected in terms of environmental data, but in most cases that data would be aggregated so that the identities and specific locations wouldn't be known.
Thank you. Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me what's bothersome for a farmer or a landowner to have that information available to the public? Where's the downside to this, so I can better understand it a little bit?
Okay.
Mr.
Well,
Patton.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator, you can imagine that for example, a collection of data on a livestock operation, there may be opponents to a livestock operation or opponents to livestock agriculture generally that would like to target a particular landowner, or there is a perception of that, and so it provides some comfort that the data collected isn't identified with that specific farmer in that specific location, because it, from the landowner's standpoint, I think a lot of times they feel a little bit vulnerable and exposed in that case.
Other questions, well, members?
Mr. Chair, and
Senator Ingebretson,
I think sometimes it's rather intimidating when a farm owner, property owner is contacted by the department and they say, we'd like to come on your property, we'd like to collect some samples and so forth, what do you think? And especially right now under the law, they'd have to be told, well, whatever we collect is going to be public information. So if you've got a problem there, we have to let that out. And so I think that the goal here is to get cooperation from people that, if there's some contamination, if there's some problem somewhere, I think we'd like to know about it. And frankly, the landowners would probably like to know about it too. So this gives strikes sort of a balance where we can give some assurances that, we'd like your cooperation and so forth, and if there's a problem, certainly the owner's going to know about it. You can't hide it from the owner. But it's a way to kind of proceed with some research that probably needs to be done, but we need some cooperation to get it done.
And Senator Betzold, the landowner, can still say no, but this is an
Absolutely.
Effort to assure him that his stuff will be private.
Yeah, this doesn't by any means give a right to the department or anybody else to come on the property without permission.
Senator Ingebretson.
Just to follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it makes sense to me that the information is going to be gathered. A lot of people can benefit from that. Just where exactly it's being gathered is what needs to be private here. I certainly understand. It sounds good to me. Thank you.
Any other questions, members? Senator Betzold, I know you've talked to Senator Vickerman about this, but I just want to ask that you would reaffirm that this bill, as it leaves, we would certainly hope, the Ag Committee would hope, that there would not be amendments that deal with other agriculture issues offered to this. I know you've talked to Senator Vickerman about that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the plan right now is, if the bill is to proceed from this committee, it would be reported tomorrow on the Senate floor and then move to the Judiciary Committee, where tomorrow night a data practices subcommittee is meeting. The plan would be to incorporate this bill into the data practices bill when that comes forward. I would not be controlling that bill. Senator Mary Olson would have that, but it's kind of hard for me to imagine amending an ag-related bill onto the data practices bill, because that's all this bill is. But that's the route that we are planning on having this particular bill go.
Well, Senator Betzold, maybe we all and you should have a discussion with Senator Olson, but I think a number of years ago there was some pesticide record-keeping issues that came up on the floor of the Senate, and we would certainly be hopeful that that wouldn't happen again. If it did, perhaps we'd have to draw this back into the Ag Committee.
Well, again, Mr. Chair, I recall those discussions, but again, this There's not a plan to have this as a freestanding bill. It would be part of a different bill, but, you know, I'd be certainly watching, and I think Senator Olson would too, because we don't we try not to allow stray issues that are completely unrelated to data practices go into the data practices bill.
Thank you, Senator Betzold. Any other questions, members?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator or Mr. Knopf.
I just wanted to ask about something on page, or excuse me, on 1.19.
Yeah.
You're defining, you've got a rule reference in there, and I know Senator Betzold, we try not to have those rule references in statute. There is a definition in the Department of Health, public water supply has the meaning given it basically in the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act. I'm assuming that that would be the same group of people that are in the rule. I don't know that. I don't have the rule in front of me. It's a Department of Health rule.
Yep.
But you could just delete everything before the period on 1.19 and insert statute section 144.382 subdivision 4.
Mr. Chair, was meeting with the representative from the Department of Agriculture, I pointed the specific issue out that we are reluctant in statute to tie our statutes to rules because the rules can change, and you know, we may not know that. So statutes should trump rules. So I think that if there's a statute that is better referred to, then I think that that's the way to do it. But I'll, since this is an agency bill, I'll let the department weigh in on what they think about it.
Mr. Patton.
Mr. Chair, I am informed that that would be acceptable. Thank you.
Senator Cooley, would you move that amendment?
I would, Mr. Chair. You know, I guess I'd have to ask. I didn't get it all copied down correctly. Maybe Mr. Knopf could reread the amendment, but then I would move that, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, it would be on line 1.19, delete everything before the period and insert statutes, comma, section 144.382 subdivision 4.
Senator Kubley moves this oral amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Senator Shadrick.
Mr. Chair, just by way of process, there are other committees that have requested the bill, too, particularly as it relates to chapters 343 and 346. There are a lot of those chapters include a lot of wildlife provisions.
Mr. Chair, Senator Chaudhry, I think you're on the wrong bill, are you not?
Senator Kubla, we're on Senate File 1247.
Am I working off a delete all amendment?
No.
Oh, Senate File 1247. Okay.
Yes, 1247.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, 18B.
18B?
That's an agricultural pesticide chapter. Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, that's the mm-hmm. pesticide chapter in the Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But pesticides are also dealt with PCA. Natural resources, the environment, lines 19, 110. And most importantly, that this affects a lot of the hunting community. That's the other reason why it's been requested by the Environment and Natural Resources Committee.
Senator Shumper, you're referring to the research that's being done by the Department of Ag on farmland?
But don't worry about it.
Related to natural resources, the environment, research participants, wells and springs.
Well, Senator Shadrick, what the
supply.
Purpose of the bill is there the Department of Agriculture is trying to develop a relationship with farmers so that they can come on their land and do some research projects. Now, part of the resistance is that the farmers, landowners, that the Department of Ag is trying to work with us, having some difficulties if their all of their information is to become public, including their names and locations. So what the effort is here is to keep the names and locations of that data private in order to facilitate the relationship that the Department of Ag is trying to develop with the farmers. Now, we'd like that narrow data privacy bill to leave this committee and go off to the data privacy, but we do have concerns if the ag issues get broader. I don't know where you would get into that it would be an environment issue, but that would be something you and Senator Betzel will have to work out, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do the bill at all.
Any other discussion, members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Betzel.
There's one other issue that I've been reminded of. The department currently has a temporary authority by the Department of Administration for this very proposal that you have before us. Under law, the Department of Administration can grant a temporary classification for data, and they have that. That does exactly what this bill does, but it's temporary, so it would expire this coming June. If this bill becomes law, it would go into effect on August 1st, which means that we're going to have a gap between the time that the temporary classification ends in June and the time that this bill would go into effect on August 1st. So we would probably need an immediate effective date so that we don't have that gap between the end of the temporary classification and the bill going into effect.
So, Senator Betzel, at the end of this bill, we should have this become effective immediately upon the passage.
That would helpful. Or is it June 3rd?
June 1st.
June 1st it expires. So either immediate effective date or effective June 1st. So either way, we would not have the gap. But since this is an agency bill, an immediate effective date would probably not be a problem because the agency is going to be quite aware of it.
Senator Dale.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we add an amendment to this bill to make it effective immediately after the governor signs it.
Passage.
Yeah.
Enactment. Senator Dale moves. Immediate effective date. Any questions, members?
Which, Mr. Chair, that would be the day
Senator
after,
Betzel.
After enactment.
Enactment.
That's
right.
Usually the standard language. Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Any other discussion? Senator Kubli or Senator Scogin moves passage of Senate file number 1247 as amended be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Bill's passed. Thank you, Senator Betzel. Well, Senator Betzel, while you're here, we had some discussion last Thursday about bringing Senate file number 7 back in front of the committee. Members, we would need a motion to take Senate file number 7 from the table so the committee could continue to work on that. Senator Erickson Ropes moves Senate file number 7 be removed from the table. Any discussion, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No. No.
Motion does not prevail. Senate file 1410, Senator Kubli.
Okay. I missed it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Senator Kubli.
Senate File 1410 is not just weed bill. There are a number of pieces in your packet regarding the bill. Some of the revisions that are listed in the bill are also there, and also the talking points that I was given are in your packet, so I don't want to, you know, I suppose we could go over the revisions together, Mr. Chair. That might be the most beneficial. But just the purpose of the law is to primarily take a look at the effects of noxious weeds on public health and, you know, the other pieces that are listed there under that item headed the purpose of the law. Most of you are aware of some of the historic background, I think, of the noxious weed law. I think it does need revision from time to time, you know, and I would guess there probably isn't anyone on this committee that has never had an inquiry about noxious weeds. It does seem to me that sometimes state-owned lands don't control their noxious weeds very well either. But, you know, you can see a list of the organizations there that were represented on the task force. And then below that is the recommended language of the task force that was arrived at by that group that worked on it. I know some members were interested in that and may have attended a meeting or two, and that would be good advice for the committee as well. But just taking a look at the recommended language, Mr. Chair and members, you know, it does kind of streamline the process for, you know, putting noxious weeds either on the list or taking them off, and gives the Commissioner of Agriculture the authority with the new Noxious Weed Advisory Committee to do that. Then it authorizes the creation of weed management control agreements with landowners or with, you know, weed management groups as an alternative strategy. You know, and I think some of those things are fairly you know, how that goes about is actually included in the bill as well. But it asks several things of the Commissioner of Agriculture, and I'm sure the Commissioner is here today. I saw Ms. Janey here, and, you know, she stated that the department is not opposed. You know, I don't think they are either endorsing it or opposing it. But I think, you know, number four then takes a look at creating a noxious weed and invasive plant species assistance fund. You know, we don't currently have any money there, and this bill does not provide that. We tried to avoid the need for a fiscal note, but the grant program is established there to assist in dispersing that money when it's available. But then it removes some unfunded mandates on counties except for the requirement to name a point of contact either by appointing a county inspector or designating another employee. I know the Association of Counties did have some recommendations for an amendment, Mr. Chair, and there were some other pieces that I had as well. So, you know, if we could take a look at the A1 amendment, Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure if that's in your packet or if Mr. Knopf has those available for members. If we could just wait a minute before we go into that, till people have the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley, we're passing out the A1 amendment now.
All right. But the Association of Counties, you know, asked, and part of this is their recommendation, saying that the county board shall designate a responsible authority to address any non-performance issues by local weed inspectors. In lieu of designating a responsible authority, you know, the county may appoint one or more ag inspectors. And, you know, I think, you know, I don't think there's anything in this bill that's highly controversial. You know, I think the changes that are in the amendment were recommended either by the counties or by the Nature Conservancy. We do have several people here today, Mr. Chair, too, who would like to speak to the bill, and depending on what your preference is, we can allow them to speak, or, you know, if you'd like to wait with questions until the end or ask them as we go, that's up to you.
Well, Senator Kubley, let's get the testimony on the record. I've got three testifiers, Ms. Shaw, welcome to the Ag Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to speak to the work of the task force and the effort that went into drafting these. And I'd like to point out that I think it's a very well-put-together bill that does address some needed issues, which Senator Kubley did bring up. And I'd like to highlight the role of the advisory committee that's created in this. That's a very needed update to the law, which creates the flexibility to bring new weeds on and take them off as decided by this group that's set up in the bill. And the creation of the assistance fund, should funding become available, it creates that method by which the municipalities and counties could take advantage of funding. That's also really important to counties. An issue that is also important, too, is to somehow maintain a contact at the county level that can work with the Department of Agriculture and disseminate information back to land managers within those localities, a point of contact that then can work with them, whether it's appointed or even designated.
Thank you, Ms. Shaw. And Senator Kubley, Mr. Power?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Tim Power. I am a shade tree grower from just north of Hastings in Washington County, and I'm also the past president of the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association. Our executive director and I participated in the process that Senator Kubley has described, which occurred in 2007, to review the then-existing law and recommend changes to the law. One of our concerns was that when in 2003 the Department of Agriculture underwent some budget problems and defunded parts of the existing noxious weed program, a lot of the work that had been underway just prior to that time basically ceased. There was a similar panel created by the Department of Agriculture called the Noxious Weed Potential Evaluation Committee, which did quite a bit of work in reviewing the current list of noxious weeds, and besides that, going through a wide variety of potentially invasive species for possible inclusion on future lists. I believe that the group that is named in this law, in this bill, would continue the work that was started back in 2002 and 2001. In a way that I feel would be very positive for the state and for our industry in particular. We are farmers. We face many of the same issues that cash crop farmers do, and so we are very concerned about these same issues. And I would be glad to answer any questions if committee members have them. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Power. Members, questions of these two witnesses? Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I support the bill. I think these laws need to be revisited, as you said, Senator Kubley. Just wanted to just flag a issue with regards to noxious weeds that we deal with in the Environment Committee and Wildlife Habitat. We've created in recent years a Roadsides for Wildlife program, and our current roadsides rules encourage spot treatment of noxious weeds as a better, more environmentally friendly way to deal with these issues. Is there and I don't think there are any concerns within your bill about that, but as long as we're talking about the issue, is there a way that we can, without burdening the program, is there a way we can examine that point and maybe utilize what you're talking about in this bill to drive that point home further with various stakeholder groups. Could there be suggestive language? And I'm not saying we need to amend anything now. Could there be suggestive language added to the bill? Could there be something that addresses some concerns about spraying and how that might affect organic farmers or such? In a way that doesn't burden the program, but is there a way to examine those issues in your bill at some point?
Mr. Chair.
And it's just, I guess it's more of a general discussion point, and then maybe we can think about it, and as the bill moves forward, if something comes to mind that we could amend, great. But this is really just to explore that question.
Senator Kubley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, I did raise the question about, what do you do with farmers who are trying to run an operation without, the use of chemicals. And I think, if you take a look at the Cooperative Weed Control Agreement under Section 12 on page 3 of the bill, that does address that there with the language that says that the ag inspector may enter into a cooperative weed control agreement with a landowner or weed management group to establish a mutually agreed upon noxious weed management plan. I think we intended to make that broad enough so that, the weed management plan does not have to be the use of a chemical that kills the plant, but could be, involve a mechanical means of ridding the area of the weed.
Mr. Chair, how about on the spot
Senator
treatment?
Chaudhry.
How about the spot treatment issue? Is there any encouragement in your bill, or could something be explored regarding that just to encourage that type of activity?
Senator Kubley.
Senator, Mr. Chair, if
Ms.
I could
Shaw.
Try and answer that. I am employed out of a soil and water conservation district. I'm very aware of the concerns you're raising, and I want to add on to what Senator Kubley mentioned. Both the cooperative weed management tool and the weed management area tool, there's two really nice tools within this bill that help a local manager or point of contact at a county or municipality level to work with issues like that. Okay. This bill also brings in the Department of Agriculture's role, again, as disseminating information down to the county and local level. And then the beauty of having it handled at the local level is those municipalities, land manager, county ag inspector, can make those local land use decisions based on the type of weed that they're dealing with and the site location where it's working with, whether it be a wildlife management area or an organic producer, and the sensitive issues could vary. They can use the information provided and centralized with the Department of Ag to make those really keen, site-specific choices that usually could be spot spraying. And I know that spot spraying is used quite frequently at the county level, almost probably as a rule. Okay. So.
Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, I don't really think too much of spot spraying. I think it can be used to some extent, but when you're going along with a boom sprayer and you're trying to eyeball where the weeds are, there's a lot of them that are very small, and that's a good time to kill them. And it's hard to spot them, and you're going along, say, spraying thistles, and the thistles are standing good and tall, that's fine, but then there's a lot of places where they're so small and embedded in the vegetation, it's hard to see them. And the most efficient thing is just to spray the whole pasture area and maybe spot spray on the steep slopes or between the trees where you can't get in there with a sprayer. I've done some spot spraying too, but it just seems like it's just more efficient to hit everything and knock them back where they're good and small and easy to kill.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Dillon, I would not support some sort of spot spraying mandate or regulation or anything like that, because there are times when it's appropriate, times when it's not, as you described. It just seems to be you find times where it's appropriate, and as an educated person in these practices, you know to do that. And how can we get that information out more, that at times it would be more environmentally friendly to use that if appropriate in that situation, of course, to use that practice. That's all I'm suggesting.
We have one more testifier. Let's hear from Mr. Schutrop. Am I got the name wrong? Oh.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. This committee. I'm Peter Schutrop. I am the current president of the Minnesota Association of County Ag Inspectors. And as a whole, our organization supports the proposal as drafted. We're not sure on the one of the amendments proposed, though. Top of the page, section 14, subdivision 1. If you compare that to the existing proposal, that language that states keep my bearing straight here. The language difference between the two, there's one statement here that talks about if the duties, or other designated employees to carry out the duties and responsibilities of section 18.76 to 1891 within the county. That's in proposed language. That is that section 1876 to 1891. That's not carrying over in the amendment. We're wondering if that's going to carry through.
Could you repeat that again? I'm sorry, I got lost. Did anybody track that, Mr. Knopf?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that the issue is in the bill as introduced, that's basically the noxious weed law they're talking about, those statutory sites that are in there. And it doesn't include, in the amendment, that doesn't include a specific reference to that, but I think elsewhere in the law, I mean, that is their due, they do carry out the duties and responsibilities under that law. I'm not sure whether, if this is in or not, whether it makes a big difference.
What page is it on?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Deal, if you look on page 6, 6.3 and 6.4.
Mr. Schutrop, did you hear that? Does that answer your question?
I'm guessing it will. We're not sure if that clarifies it or not. But well,
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, there are, in 16.81, you don't see it here, and it's not in the bill. I mean, it does have the duties of county agricultural inspectors, and it does have the references to the parts of the law that they're supposed to work on. I'm not sure that you need to have that reference in this section. It's something we can look at down the road. This has got a few more stops. But this was an alternative language that was suggested to put in here that didn't include that reference.
Senator Kubla, you have a couple more stops. I understand there's a question about whether we need to include references to the county noxious weed statute that's in section 16.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. No, it's in the section that's being amended in section 16, but you don't have the language in front of you that has. Well, actually, you do. I'm sorry. It's section 15. If you look on page 6, section 15, you can see that the county board shall specify the responsibilities of the county agricultural inspector in the annual work plan, which may include, and then it basically spells out what they can get involved in.
Other discussion members, or did the witness have other? Mr. Schutrop, did you have anything else you wanted to comment on?
The one other, I guess, in that, in the amendment as well, subdivision one, same section, 1.6. The language proposal did change. County board may appoint, and in the proposal, the table, there's the shall. So we have a language conflict there.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The suggested language for that portion of the amendment came from the Association of Counties.
It was an AMC recommendation.
Yeah, AMC. It's, well, Mr. Schotrup, it seems to me that you would want the ability but not be required, and that would mean to me that the may would be more flexibility for the county than if you say shall.
Mr. Knopf. Mr. Chairman, the other issue here is if you look at the first sentence, they do have to designate somebody to address non-performance by local weed inspectors. And in lieu of that designating responsible authority, then they cannot appoint. So, but they have to do something there. They have to either appoint a county inspector, or they have to designate a responsible authority to address any non-performance issues.
Mr. Knopf, I'm getting the issue. The issue here is the county board could conceivably not have a weed inspector, but they would have to have some mechanism in place to deal with noncompliance if there are noxious weed issues. And Senator Kubley, what would be, or Mr. Schotrup, somebody at the witness table, what would be one of the options that a county might have other than to appoint a county agriculture inspector?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think the reason that the counties wanted to list the designation of a responsible authority was to give some flexibility to counties that did not already have a weed inspector on their staff, so that they didn't have to add a new employee at a time when dollars are pretty tight for the counties as well. That was the rationale behind giving them the flexibility to designate a current employee.
Well, Senator Kubley, though, they don't have to have a county inspector. As long as they have a plan for dealing with it, they could have some other mechanism in place for dealing with the weeds. Is there any, somebody have any ideas what those might be?
I think we have someone coming to the table, Mr. Chair.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Ryan O'Connor from the Association of Minnesota Counties. And the Association of Minnesota Counties was the one that put forward the amendment language with the work of the bill author. The intent, I think, that, Mr. Chair, you identified correctly in that by providing the May language, that provides additional flexibility to counties. They do not have to appoint, under the old requirement, a shall appoint of an ag inspector. They would be required to do the enforcement of noncompliance issues. Much of the feedback that the counties have received and the counties would like to see is that the enforcement is being done first on the township or municipality level, but there are some cases, you know, on the outliers where these issues come back to the county level and they need the county mechanisms to deal with noncompliance. And in those instances, the counties believe there is a responsibility that they have to take care of that issue, hence the designated authority that would work with the Department of Ag. But the issues of an ag inspector associated with education and outreach, we believe, if the department believes at the state level that that is a priority in a climate of limited resources, that the state should have to do some of that that part of the responsibility. That should not be mandated upon counties.
Well, I apologize. Mr. Ryan?
Mr. O'Connor, or Mr. O'Connor, Ryan, whatever works.
I had one of the names right. I just had them in
That's
the wrong
okay.
I mean, I understand that the counties don't want to have an ag inspector, but the township's currently, I mean, it's a county responsibility now. And if they're not going to have the inspector, who's going to be inspecting the compliance?
Mr. Chair, I believe that there are local weed inspectors, which go more local than the county level. There are individuals at the township level which do enforce and are the first line of defense on weed issues. We would actually not be the very first line, I believe.
Town board supervisors.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it's town supervisors is what you're falling down on.
Correct. And Mr. Chair, that's why the resident expertise would have to come from the Department of Ag. That's why there's a piece about in consultation with MDA in the event of a compliance issue where the county did not have resident knowledge to be able to accommodate that.
Well, members, I don't know if you're really tracking with this, but I don't know who's going to be doing the inspection if the county doesn't. All they have to do is have a mechanism in place to address the issue, but who's going to actually go out and see and do the inspections? Because the townships from the county that I'm familiar with, they count on the county to do this. And I see Ms. Shaw nodding her head. Can you bring some enlightenment to us?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. Speaking from the task force, that was an issue that was raised by a number of participants, the importance of having a specific contact at the county level to work as the mechanism that you're describing. Speaking as a county ag inspector for Mille Lacs County, I can tell you that that the townships rely heavily on what the county can supply for a county ag inspector, and that I believe this bill does create enormous flexibility for a county in how they choose to and how they're able to fund that position at the county level.
Senator Kubley, are you comfortable with that flexibility? Is there anybody willing to think about amending this?
Would Mr. Knopf have some language, Mr. Chair, that might firm that up a bit? I mean, I realize it's kind of mushy the way it appears.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cooley, I'm not sure. It's kind of either you do or you don't. Either you tell them they have to have an ag inspector or you allow them to pick. I'm not sure that there's another way of doing that. I mean, you could on 9.1.6 and delete may and insert shall so that if they don't designate a responsible authority, they shall appoint. I think that's pretty obvious in the language. I don't think that the substantive change necessarily. If you wanted to put the shall in there. But otherwise, I think it's either you kind of go with what you've got in the amendment or what you have in your bill coming in.
Well, I don't see any motions. Any other questions, members? Senator Kubley, where are we heading with Senate File 1410?
Do you want to adopt either one?
Oh, did we?
No.
Oh, Senator Kubley, we need to adopt the A1 amendment, and it has not been amended yet.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm just not sure, you know, how to respond, at this point. You know, maybe we can do that at the next stop if, I'll talk to a few of you and see where you are on the issue and make the change at a later date. But at the current time, I would move the A1 amendment to Senate File 1410.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The A1 amendment's adopted. Any other questions, members? Anybody in the audience that would like to testify for or against Senate File 1410? Seeing none,
Chair, we had a person here from the Ag Department a minute ago. I don't know if he wanted to.
Sure. Mr. Dreike?
Good
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Chuck Drake. I'm the Assistant Director of the Plant Protection Division. I'm basically here to answer questions, so if you have any, give you the department's perspective.
Thank you for coming. Senator Dale.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Drake.
Drake.
Yes. What is it?
Just Drake.
Just Drake.
Just Drake.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have an opinion on this A1 amendment?
I think
Mr. Drake.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Senator Dill, I believe that the department is best served by having a representative, a point of contact at the county level. And if the A1 amendment removes a designated point of contact, that would make it difficult for the Department of Agriculture to administer noxious weed.
Senator Dill, are you going to make a motion?
Well, I didn't vote for the amendment in the first place.
Oh.
I didn't vote against it either.
Well, now we have to kill it.
As I sat here thinking about it, I thought I was a township supervisor for 7 years, and it's not that easy for township supervisors to go over to their neighbors and tell them, cut your weeds.
That's right.
It's a lot easier to have somebody come to the seat come out because they're so far away and tell the neighbor to cut his weeds.
So, Senator Dill, are you going to move that we change the may to shall on what was the A1 amendment on line 6?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that and we'll see what happens.
See what happens. Senator Dill, and I don't know where it's at because it's in the bill now, but it's the A1 amendment on page 1, line 6. Change the may to shall. Any discussion? Senator Cooley?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Dale, I heard Mr. Knapp saying that he didn't know if that would make a lot of difference. Would it be agreeable with the committee that I work with Mr. Knapp to, you know, bring the language back that would designate a person at the county level, or do we want to do that at another stop, or...
Well,
I realize it's kind of late, but...
There's two ways we can do it, Senator Kubley. We can put the shell in, and if you need to change it back for some reason, you know, we certainly can. Otherwise, we could leave May. My preference is to not give them the authority. I think they need to have a county weed inspector. And if the shell doesn't do it, it's certainly better than May, in my opinion, and I'd like to see this amendment on and require the county weed inspector.
Well, I have no objection to that, Mr. Chair. I'll visit with Mr. Knopf and see if we need anything further.
Further. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Now we have Senate File 1410 as amended in front of us. And where does it go?
Environment.
This has been called to go to the environment. Senator Kubley, are you going to move your bill?
Seems like a good idea.
Senator Kubley moves Senate File number 1410 be recommended to pass and referred to the Environment Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Bill's passed. Thank you, Senator Kubley.
Done
for the day. We are done for the day. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
We didn't get them.